Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And with us today, we got the main guy, the big cheese, the main guy behind that organization or people that runs it together, who seems to know everybody in the community, like our guest today. Welcome, Ruben.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Yeah, I am blessed to be able to work with and collaborate with a lot of people here in the community, as we are as a chamber. So thank you. Welcome to everybody to today's podcast, where our community is your community. Just sharing with our community who we are as a chamber and who some of our people we collaborate with and work with on a day-to-day basis. Get to share some of that with them. And today we're lucky to have David Wetzel, who's the Executive Director of Serving People in Need, or SPIN OC, Costa Mesa-based nonprofit dedicated to supporting unhoused and housing vulnerable families across Orange County. He leads SPIN's mission-driven team in providing stable housing and comprehensive services that help families rebuild stability and long-term self-sufficiency. As executive director, he works closely with family navigators, case managers, and SPIN's board to build on the organization's 30-year legacy of helping families find safety, stability, and hope, which is hope being a great thing. David, we'd love to get into talking about SPIN, but let's focus on you. We'd like to have all our podcast guests just tell us a little bit about yourself personally, your family, where'd you grow up, and just to share that with us as an organization.
Sure. I grew up in Orange County, born and raised, been here for my entire life. I grew up in the restaurant business, so that's what I did for most of my career. That went through probably about up until about 3 years ago.
Okay.
About 3 years ago, we are now empty nesters. We launched The Last Kid, sat down with my wife and talked about where do we go from here. And that's when we started talking about the issues around families experiencing homelessness. Of course, I have a soft spot in my heart for families. We were very privileged. We were very fortunate and blessed. Not everybody out there is like that. About 3 years ago, I embarked on a path to start to provide some help there. Did some online courses and a program through UCI to learn about it, and tried to contact every person who I knew in the community who was involved with it, and a lot of folks who I didn't know who were involved with it. Spent about a year and a half searching and landed at Serving People in Need, and it's a great organization.
That's great. And you've been the executive director for 3 years now, is that right?
A little less than that.
Less than three years.
I'm coming up on 2 years.
Okay.
So this is all new to me, and the landscape is new to me, but it's been a wonderful journey so far.
That's great. We appreciate what you do. We know how important it is in serving people, serving families. You guys focus, I know when we look at the homeless landscape, a lot of people think of individuals and stuff. I think your focus is more on families that are experiencing financial hardship, homelessness. Tell us a little bit about that focus.
Yeah, so we focus exclusively on families with dependent children, and we work through the coordinated care system, the county system. We work very closely with 211OC. There's a very large database that's maintained throughout the community. We help navigate families into that system, and then we work with matching our program with folks who are already in that system. What we do is we try and provide rental assistance and case management and referral services to families who are experiencing homelessness, and our objective is really to create self-sufficiency. So we focus on families who we think can get back on their feet. We provide them with a good amount of financial assistance. We provide them with a lot of love and care and coaching, help them do credit repair, work on their household budget, and again, our goal is after some amount of money that we are able to shake their hand and hope that they don't need us anymore.
Okay. And then for those who don't know what 211 is or 211OC is, explain a little bit about that.
So 211OC is a centralized organization within the county, and it's where most of the folks who are looking for services are routed. So if you're looking for anything really in the county, you can just dial 211, any kind of services, you can just dial 211 or go onto the website 211OC. And what they do is point you to organizations that provide different kinds of support, all kinds of support. For us, that means targeting families who are experiencing homelessness, who are living in a shelter, who are living on the street, who are living out of their car, and trying to get them back on their feet and feeling good about their lives.
And how many people in Orange County are in that realm of needing that assistance?
That's a great question. Throughout Orange County, there's about 7,000 folks who are experiencing homelessness for different reasons. In that queue, in that community queue that we work with directly, there are currently roughly about 400 families at any given time who are experiencing homelessness. Our organization, we're small but mighty, we're just a staff of seven, but we are able to assist about 50 to 60 of those families a year. And we do that very successfully, thankfully. We're able to provide them with support and guidance that helps them to restabilize, that helps them to secure a home, to find a place to live. An affordable place, now in Orange County, that's a qualifier, but a reasonably affordable place to live. We have great relationships with a lot of landlords. So we point them to folks who can help them. We backstop their rent for some amount of time until they get back on their feet, and they sign a year-long lease, so we're pretty comfortable and confident that once we shake their hand that they stay stably housed.
How do you define self-sufficiency? What are some of the metrics that you look at in helping people become self-sufficient?
The big ones, obviously, are that they remain housed, that once we help provide them assistance, that they're able to maintain themselves. We look at their budget very carefully. That's probably the first thing we look at is well-being, health well-being, mental health well-being. So we provide them referrals to different services that allow them to get back on track that in that regard. And then we spend a lot of time on budgeting, making sure that they understand credit and how to use it, that they are able to pay their bills on a monthly basis. And then we just provide general support and guidance. And our again, our goal is to help those families feel like they got it, like they're ready, they're able, and they can move on with their lives. And I think an important element of that is also helping to reestablish family stability, helping them have, obviously, a place to live is critical, right? Sure. Having a roof over your head is step one. So we try and make sure that the youth are well taken care of, that they've got a stable environment and a stable family living situation. And a lot of thinking behind that is we get the double bonus, right? If we're successful, we're able to help families really stabilize, and we're also able to help those children put that in the rearview mirror and hopefully look forward to great, fun, healthy life.
How do families find themselves in this kind of challenging situation? Is it typically from the loss of income, the loss of a job, or what is it that you see mostly out of those 400?
The biggest issue in Orange County for families experiencing homelessness is affordability, as the rents in Orange County are not they're not modest. No. And many of the families that we're working with are hardworking families, but if you're making $20 or $25 an hour and you're working full-time, that just might barely cover rent. What we try to do with them is try to make sure that they're able to, first of all, that they have good, secure employment and that they can improve upon that. We work with them on trying to generate additional income, on how to advance in their careers or find a job if they don't have one. And like I say, in Orange County, that's probably the biggest concern, is making sure that they can afford to pay rent. And there's a very large percentage of families in Orange County who pay well over 30%, well over 50%. Some of them over 70% of their entire earned income goes just to securing housing.
Let's talk on the employment side of it. Are any of these people able to increase their skill set by whether it was might be training or even back to school or whatever it may be, to where they're, instead of earning 25 an hour, they're earning 40 an hour? I'm not quite sure what industries most of these people are in, but
yeah, we talk to a lot of folks who are in service industries, but yes, we have a lot of really nice success stories of folks who have come in and maybe gone through a certification program, things like nursing or auto mechanics, and have successfully propelled themselves forward in their ability to earn more.
And this SPIN was started 30 years ago.
Yes.
Who was it founded by and who and why?
So Sam Boyce was the founder 30 years ago. He was working with a faith-based men's group out of Newport Beach. And the way it started was they would go out and they would collect blankets and meals and socks and clothes. They just walk out to the street and start helping folks who needed help. They would hand them whatever it is they needed. Yeah. And over time, they started listening to the stories that those folks told and asking, how did you get here and what would it take for you to move on? In the early days, SPIN had a substance abuse program, a substance use program, and that came and went. But they did that group and the group subsequent. Gene Wagoner was the executive director for well over 20 years. And she also had a soft spot in her heart for families. And as they started to learn the reasons why folks were struggling and why they were living on the street, they started targeting those issues. Again, a big one was affordability and helping folks reestablish themselves. There's a lot of folks in Orange County who are one paycheck away from not being able to make rent. And then they're having to make really terribly hard choices about what they're going to do. And we find that a lot of folks who are newly unhoused, like you say, lost a job, the car broke down, couldn't afford to get it fixed, they consequently lose their employment, and then they just, because there is no safety net in terms of their financials, they find themselves in precarious situations and they end up on the street or in a shelter.
Tell us a little bit about the different levels of government. What kind of support do you get or not get from either the county level, city level, state level, federal level?
So most of our funding today is private, a very high percentage. So we do a couple of fundraisers a year. We're very successful at those. We're blessed. We're incredibly blessed to have a very strong and dedicated and long-term following of donors who just help us. We do a couple of fundraisers a year. One of them is through OCCF, Orange County Community Foundation. Right. It's called Help Them Home, and we collaborate with all the organizations in Orange County. And that's a one-day effort to just raise money to help folks who are unhoused. We do a gala every year. We partner with quite a few community and family foundations, groups like Hogue, Marisla. We secure a lot of foundation grants, and that constitutes probably 25 to 35% of our budget every year. This year and for the last year, we historically have used HUD funding, Housing and Urban Development, and they provided a big chunk of funds to help this issue. Excuse me, this year that is changing dramatically. HUD has changed the way that they look at and are dispersing funds. The entire county is still trying to figure that out right now.
Sure.
And what has historically been a pretty big backstop for us in terms of funding through HUD is up in the air right now. So we're trying hard to continue to lean into private funding and foundation grants so that we can continue to do the good work we do and not have to worry about or deal with the kind of turbulence that we're experiencing right now with the federal funding.
Do you get any state funding at all?
No.
No. Okay.
We have a modest grant with the city of Costa Mesa, who are
headquartered,
and we help them with some of their concerns.
Okay.
But no state funding.
And how about at the county level?
Nothing through the county.
Well.
The county, the way that HUD funds are administered is through the county. So there's a continuum of care.
So the grant comes through the
HUD
county
grant,
first.
Yeah, the HUD grant comes through this big group, the continuum of care, and they're the ones who, and we do joint applications, all of us, for our different projects, and they're the ones who disperse those funds. That constitutes, typically in Orange County, about $32 to $34 million a year. And that's the funding right now that is up in the air.
Yeah, and that gets distributed to organizations like yourself and others as well.
Lots of different organizations for lots of different causes, transitional aged youth,
right.
Folks like us, permanent supportive housing, all these projects that are meant to tackle this issue.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the whole continuum of homelessness, right, whether it's, I think yours is around 5% or so, 400 people out of 7,000, at least here in Orange County, right?
It's 400 families.
400 families. So it's more than that.
It's
more than
it's
if you add up the families. So that's true. So that ends up being a bigger amount than, what is that, 10, 15% of?
Yeah, it's a big chunk.
It's a big chunk of that.
Yeah.
And then you have kids who age out, which is a separate issue, who are no longer in foster care.
Exactly.
Which becomes a cycle,
yes.
Because you talked about, tell us about the cycle that you guys are trying to stop that cycle, because you have families and then you have the younger folks who live with those families. You don't want that to happen to them down the line. So how does that, it sounds like you have a lot of impact with these, and it just goes a long way, obviously, starting there, and you have a family of 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it may be.
Yeah. We have all, you can imagine, we have all different configurations. We have traditional nuclear families. We have second generation who have legal custody of their children. Mm-hmm. We have single parents. So we have a whole smattering of different folks that we're trying to assist. Historically, particularly with that HUD funding, the prioritization process that that the county has gone through is it focuses on families who are the most acute, who have the maybe have disabling conditions, and the families that have been experiencing homelessness the longest. One of the programs that we're putting into place early next year is called the New Start Family Housing Program, and the purpose of that program is to capture families earlier. One of the challenges with the current way that families are prioritized is a family will often wait at least 10 months once they're checked into a shelter or once we become aware of them. They may wait 10 months to a year before they receive meaningful help, before they receive housing assistance. So the new program that we're putting into place is going to target specifically families who've been experiencing homelessness for less than 120 days. We believe if we can capture them earlier, first of all, and maybe most importantly, it mitigates some of the experience that they have, some of the trauma they might experience, some of the health and mental health concerns that evolve over time. Right. So that's the big deal, right? But we also think we can help them more efficiently and more effectively and have greater long-term outcomes by capturing them early. One of the things we're really working hard on right now and will launch in January and promoting aggressively right now is this New Start program. And I think if we're successful, and I think we will be, I think it'll have a significant impact, and particularly a significant impact on the children and the families who won't have to go through that experience for extended amount of time.
Yeah, having to be in a shelter or having to live in a car or having to, that's amazing. It's that long. It's 10, the average is 10 months.
And it's really an indicator of how challenging the problem is, yeah. Right? Because there's a lot of groups like ours who with beautiful hearts who are doing fantastic work, and this is what they do, and it's their top priority. But it's just such, the inflow is just so great that it's hard for us as a group to keep up. It's hard for us to we've got more folks coming in than we're able to pull out. And my dream, my hope is over the next few years that we can continue to expand our reach and continue to help more and more families. Because while 7,000 families in the county, varying backgrounds, veterans, transitional age youth, families, that's a really complicated problem. But 400 families isn't as complicated, and it's a more, and that's why we're focused on it. For me, it's a more digestible number, and it's a problem that I think with the right focus and the right funding, we can actually solve, effectively solve. You're always going to have folks coming in and out. But 400 families is not such a huge and overwhelming challenge that we can't overcome it.
You would think, given like we're a county of about 3.2 million people, 400 families is not that big a number, right? So if you had that focus, like you said, how do we do it? And how do you shorten that time frame of getting to know who they are closer to when it happens, when the event happens, right? Whether it's losing a job or income or whatever it may be that they're no longer housed. How do you shorten that? And then how do you do that? So I think Paul mentioned it earlier, if you can wave a magic wand, I'm not sure anybody has a magic wand, but what would be on your wish list to try to help these 400 families?
So number one on the wish list is better funding, right? Yeah. It's more donors, it's more foundation grants, it's just better funding. As we're a small team, right? There's only 7 of us, and we're able to impact 50 families a year. And as things get more efficient, as revenue increases, right, as you scale, right? So I think if we could double our current budget in the next few years, we can probably go way beyond doubling our impact. I think we could get to probably 100, 150 families a year. And that's our goal. Next year, and we've been working at this a long time, and I think one of the things that we've been working on for the last couple of years is increasing that impact. We've historically helped about 50 families a year. This in 2025, it looks like we're going to clear 60 to 65 families, which is great, right? Yeah. And if we could, like I say, if we could double our budget, we could probably get to 125 to 150 families. And now we're talking about meaningful impact to that list of 400. And like I said, there's a lot of groups out there like us who are working on this. I know Families Forward, who we collaborate pretty closely with, they're working on prevention, so they're trying to help mitigate that inflow. And if we can get earlier in the cycle, I think we can help mitigate the growth, and then over time. When you talk to a lot of folks in the community, there's this impression that this is just not a problem we can overcome. And I understand how you can get there mentally. This is a problem. This is a challenge with us, with these 400 families, that I absolutely believe we can. We can overcome it. And we just have to have the will and put the resources against it. And so that's my magic wand.
No, I think when you look at it that way, it's a smart way of looking at it and saying, look, it can be overwhelming when you see the bigger numbers, right? But you go, here's a focus where we can have an impact, a significant impact on those 400 families, and stop it in its tracks. Right, and so then, and then someone else who focuses on veterans or aged out youth or whatever it may be, there's a way to, you know.
Yeah, eat an elephant.
Yeah,
right?
Eat an elephant, right? And it's one person or one family at a time.
It is.
You know, and it gets overwhelming, but you go, okay, we can do this.
And we have the added bonus, hopefully, if we do our job well, of having a dual impact, because we can impact the family that's sitting in front of us and meet them wherever they are. And hopefully what that does is it also changes the trajectory of the children that are
right.
in that family.
Right.
So as they look forward, they see a brighter future, they feel more stable, more secure, and they're able to plant their feet as well and set themselves off on a brighter future.
That's right. How do people get a hold of you, and if they want to help you, and how do they reach out to you?
The best way is through our website, spinoc.org, spinoc.org. Okay. Of course, like all of us, we have a Donate Now button right there. They can help us out. We do a lot of other peripheral types of activities as well. We have a corporate social responsibility and community social responsibility program, so there's lots of ways that folks can volunteer and get involved. We have great organizations who support our families. We're going through the holidays right now.
Right.
We have sponsorships for entire families for their holiday gifts. We just dispersed, probably 60 or more Thanksgiving meals. And this is all from the generosity and kindness and grace of other people.
Yeah.
So there's lots of ways to help. And like I say, we're very fortunate to have a lot of those folks who are helping us.
That's great. We're blessed to have organizations like yourself here in Orange County. And people look at Orange County and they think, oh, there's tons of wealth, and there is, obviously. But there are people here who need help.
And you make a good point there. And I think one of the things that we have to stop and think about as a community is we're one of the wealthiest communities in the country. We have the resources, we have the means to address this issue. It's out there, and that's part of our challenge. Part of my personal challenge is going out there and finding it, right? Because the resources are there, the people are there, and I'm floored continually at the generosity and graciousness of the people that we deal with every single day. And I know there are hundreds more of folks out there who would love to have an impact like this. That's what I think when you think about what keeps you going, what keeps me going is I know who's out there. I know that the resources are out there. I know that the people with heart are out there. You just got to go find them.
That's right. That's right. How long do you foresee yourself being the executive director? It sounds like you're really passionate about it and you're focused on it, and you know, which is a blessing, I think, in itself. So
I'm a newbie at this, so I'm probably not going anywhere anytime soon.
That's good. We need leadership like you. You have to be passionate about it, right? Because it is challenging, and there's days that are probably tougher than others.
Yeah. Somebody was telling me the other day, messy is okay, disorganized is not, but it can be messy, and it is sometimes. And just like anything that anybody does, right, you wake up to some days to bigger challenges than others. But there's never a day that I go to sleep and think, gosh, I really wasted my time today.
Right.
Every day I go to sleep thinking, okay, whether we knocked it out of the park or whether we struggled up a hill, every day
right.
I go to sleep and think, okay, we're doing good work.
I remember we used to be in the Olive Crest building. Mm-hmm. We're on campus here at UCI. We're here. But we were in the Olive Crest building for many years. And Ed Becker was the CFO of... And he was a great mentor to me. And I remember when I took over this role, he had told me, he said, look, focus on two things. We're going to have more things than that, but these two major things, right? And it's financial sustainability for the organization, for what you do, and impact sustainability. You need to have impact of what you're doing. There's no reason to phone it in. Just go out. And we've been able to do that because we focused on those two things, just like a laser, besides all the other things we have going on. Those are important, and that's what you guys do too as well, because if you don't, those 50 families don't get help.
Right? Yeah, coincidentally, our chairperson, Kurt Sheets, is also very tied into Olive Crest, and we collaborate with them pretty closely as well.
Yeah, great organization, and with Olive Crest and Orangewood, and we're very fortunate here in Orange County to have what we have.
And that's it. When you go to, we have this board, the Continuum of Care, and they oversee some of these efforts, certainly around homelessness. And when you sit with that group to a person, they are passionate about the issue. They are giving everything they have to resolve it. And again, that's really helpful and encouraging because you get to look around you and see that we're certainly not in this alone. There are a lot of groups out there who are working it hard, and they're all doing really great work.
Yeah. I can't believe our 30 minutes have gone by.
Wow,
so
fast.
But anything you'd like to share with us?
Whether you support us or no matter what your passion is, do look out in the community because there's always an opportunity to help. Whether it's a time, treasure, talent, there's always an opportunity. So take that opportunity because it's a great thing to do.
That's great. And everybody who's listening on the podcast, we hope you have a great holiday. However you share your holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And David, thank you for being on. Thank you for what you do day to day, because I know it's challenging, but it's definitely worthwhile.
It's truly my pleasure.
Thank you.
Really is.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. Take care.
There you have it. Some hope, some good news for the holidays from our community to yours, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.